This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, how are you?
I'm good. Not quite yet. Close. We're closing in to the morning walk. Great to be with you, Pack. Looking forward to a great show. Javon McKinley will be here before 10 o'clock. The Notre Dame wide receiver had a big catch the other night, obviously, in the win against Clemson. Look forward to talking to Javon, and Mark Rick will join us. And at 9:30 this morning, we get to talk about the Atlantic Coast Conference men's basketball schedule. Mark, schedule at 9:30.
Yeah, I asked about that yesterday. I said, you know, we're getting about 2.5 weeks out. It seems to me we're getting in the neighborhood, aren't we, about finding out where everybody's going to be going? And we're going to give that to you, though, later in the show. And we'll also address women's basketball today as well, because there's a big announcement with ACC Network, which we'll get into. And there's a little bit of everything going on. It's an interesting week coming up. I thought also, Wes, yesterday, after we said goodbye, and from a big picture standpoint, and we keep harping on the fact, just enjoy the games you get. Yesterday was not a great day as far as college athletics and COVID are concerned. The Southeastern Conference got smashed yesterday. Tom Izzo tested positive, as we talk about hoops. Right. A couple other coaches. We have a game postponement. We have a number in jeopardy. Just going to say it again. COVID doesn't care. And for everybody out there watching, whether you're on our network or SEC network or the Big Ten network, Longhorn network, wherever you get your sports news, just remember, man, be careful. I'll just emphasize it again. Again, COVID doesn't care. So, again, just be safe, healthy, do all the right protocols, and stay safe out there. It's a tough time, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned other coaches, Tom Izzo, Sam Pittman at Arkansas tested positive yesterday. There's a lot of this stuff. And unfortunately, when a Monday starts like that, Mark, let's hope that it doesn't become another tough Tuesday, right?
Right.
We've had some Tuesdays that have kind of skewered as well. We do have some things here to talk about at the top. We will get to a little hoops news here in a second. But Trevor Lawrence was back in front of the media for the first time since his coronavirus positive test a week ago last Thursday. Is that right? I'm counting my days right? Yeah, about 2 weeks ago now, 11 days out. So Trevor shared his thoughts on the game against Notre Dame and discussed if the outcome might have been different if he had been on the field in South Bend.
You know, who knows? I think it's obviously football is such an interesting game. You just look back. I mean, DJ made a ton of plays that were great. So, I mean, there's just things that, you know, who knows how it would have gone if I was playing. Obviously, I would have loved to have been in there and try to do everything I can to win the game. But at the same time, DJ played really well, and I was proud of him. And obviously, that's not an easy situation as a freshman. And he was prepared and did everything he could. So, I don't know. To answer your question, I really don't know. But, you know, obviously, it was something I would have loved to have been able to play for sure.
Would have loved to have seen him play. But you know what? Quarterback wasn't the issue Saturday night for Clemson. It was the defensive side. And, you know, they basically ran out of bodies, ran out of time. Notre Dame wins the game. But, you know, it had nothing to do with the quarterback play in that game for Clemson.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that part. And Lawrence expected to be back a week from Saturday when the Tigers host or visit Florida State, I should say. Trevor also, yet again, was asked questions about his future and once again said, you know, that it's the last season. The topic should be discussed this season. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. He's kind of to the point where if you're going to ask about the future, we're probably not going to get much of a conversation.
I'm just trying to enjoy my last whatever few months here, if that's what it's going to be. So whatever I decide to do, you guys will know in January or February. So just I'm just trying to enjoy it, and obviously I'm not trying to make a stir. I don't want any more people talking about me than they already are. So my thing is I'm just never going to corner myself to where I have to do something just because of something I said in the past. So I'm leaving the door open for all my options, and that's really all I'm going to say about it. But just trying to enjoy my time here, however much I have, you know. And people want me to say, no matter what, for sure, I'm leaving school. And that's just not something I'm gonna say. And that's that's as simple as it is. So I'm never gonna corner myself like that. And it's like, that's what people want to hear. At the end of the day, I want to leave myself opportunities and, you know, take everything in and make a decision. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to say that, you know, for sure I'm staying or for sure I'm leaving. So that's all it was. And it turns out that caused more of a commotion than if I would have said wouldn't have said anything. So.
100% right. I hope everybody that asked questions listened to what he said. I mean, respect his opinion. And Trevor's right. Hey, I've said my piece. Down the road we go. And they got to get healthy and worry about Florida State in 12, 15 days, whatever it is. The rest is history, man. I just leave the guy alone. Let him go play football. Let him go enjoy his life. Simple as that. When he's ready to go, he'll go.
All right. Two things here that kind of came to mind when I heard that quote yesterday. All right, number one, the Trevor's portion of this conversation, at least this particular topic, goes back to the August Tom Rinaldi interview. Correct, Mark? In your mind, it does in mine. It goes back to when he, you know, made those comments in passing with Tom Rinaldi, right?
I guess. I mean, it's your opinion. I mean, you tell me. I mean, I think he said his. Well, I think his answer there was pretty clear. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to back myself in the corner. I got a chance to stay. I got a chance to leave. When I'm made up my mind, I'll let you know. I don't know how hard it is to follow that. That seems pretty simple to me. And it would seem to me, if you were a reporter, you would respect that and go on down the road and discuss other things. But go for it.
Well, and here again, that's why I think this has become somewhat of an interesting dynamic, because he made a passing comment in an interview with Tom Rinaldi in August about potentially coming out after this year and so forth. And really, this didn't start to become a thing back to him until it was till the New York Jets, who lost again last night, were brought back into the conversation. Now, everybody is projecting him as the number one pick next spring in the NFL draft. That's fine. But he's... You know, the Jets come into the equation, and now the question gets percolated more because it's coming from the nation's number one media market and certainly a white-hot, intense NFL market. That's when this whole thing started bubbling back. And now he's got not only the college football media talking to him, there's a portion of the NFL media that is now zeroing in. And I don't think anything he has said is incorrect. In fact, I'm pretty comfortable with the way he's going to handle this. But I find it interesting that the volume on this has gotten turned up by the NFL portion of the program and, to a degree, the college football, those outside of Clemson, who seemingly respect, I think, now, and totally understand where he's coming from. But I find it interesting that what he said, you know, on track, and now he's kind of positioned it to a point where I think everybody ought to be fairly comfortable with it, and he'll get back to you in January or February, and I think that's the right way to handle it.
I thought what he said made a ton of sense. I heard him crystal clear. He didn't really want to talk about it. When he's ready to make a decision, he will. And if the New York media wants to make a big stink out of it, hey, it's up to them. But, hey, the kid's already said what he said. So I don't know what's hard to follow about that. You know, he enjoys college life. Well, it's a reason. There were some people who said, when are you going to come back this year? That got egg on their face. So, hey, let the kid enjoy his life. He's gotten engaged. He's a great player. He's enjoying college life, plays for a pretty good football team, got a great environment. He's going to get his degree in December. You know, when he's ready for the NFL, he'll go to the NFL whenever he's on. It's on his terms. Yeah. So to me, I can't imagine how easier it would be to follow if you're in the news media to say, well, here's what the kid said, now deal with it. And I don't think there's any other story to it.
All right, week from Saturday, the Tigers visit Florida State. That'll be the next time you get a chance to see Trevor and Clemson take the field. Preseason basketball poll is out. Four teams are in the AP top 25. Virginia leads the way at number 4. Duke is 9. Carolina 16. And Florida State's 21. Regular season champs from a year ago make the cut. And Virginia got 1. First place vote.
Highest preseason ranking for the Hoos since the early 80s when they were number 1. Duke, same old, 13 straight preseason top 10s. North Carolina, that's the lowest preseason ranking since the 05-06 season, Wes, where you couldn't find them. And then Florida State, you mentioned, nobody ever seems to want to give Leonard any love. He's sitting down there in Tallahassee laughing all the way to the bank. But they're now ranked in back-to-back years for the first time since the early 90s. So you got four ACC teams in the top 25. To be honest with you, I thought there would be more, but whatever. You know how I feel about the AP poll, especially preseason polls. Nobody knows anything. So we can't wait to see this thing get cranked up here in about 2.5 weeks.
Yep. The teams on the perimeter, is there anybody outside the 25 you thought would get in?
I thought Louisville would get in, and I know they lost everybody and their brother, but, I mean, Chris Mack's got a really good program. Right. You know they're going to have good players. Again, I don't get too whacked out with preseason polls. I almost kind of mock them, to be honest with you, because we don't know anything.
Sure.
I mean, we really don't know anything. All this is based on what you got coming back, what we thought you looked good last year. Let's go roll the ball out and see who's any good. I mean, I don't know.
Sure.
Could it be some other ACC teams in there? I would expect so. I mean, we got four in the top 25. I think there's more than four top 25 teams in our conference in basketball, in my opinion. Now, who they'll be, beats me. But my gut reaction is that Louisville will have a chance. I think Georgia Tech's got a chance to be pretty good. But, you know, who knows? All about injuries. Who knows how the schedule works out? I suspect we'll have two or three other teams that you don't see on that list dabble in the top 25 at some point in time during the year.
Yeah, I mean, I would add Georgia Tech, Clemson, I think NC State, Devin Daniels, DJ Funderburk are back. Sure. You mentioned Louisville, Syracuse, certainly. I mean, good heavens, with Buddy Boeheim, Joe Girardi. I mean, they got shooters and players.
I mean, the Big Ten, Wes, the Big Ten put
Miami,
seven.
Even though Miami lost Sam Wardenberg, I still think they got a chance too.
The Big Ten put seven teams in the top 25. Awesome. Good for them. I can't wait for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, which we'll get into. But, I mean, you know, Ohio State, Rutgers, Michigan are 23, 24, 25. I think there's probably 20 teams that could be 23, 24, 25. Yeah. So, you know, you don't make too big of a stink out of it. I am curious to see how the ACC smart folks vote as far as who they think is 1, 2, and 3. Because let's be honest, 7 of the last 8 years – the ACC team to beat, based on the media, has been dead wrong. Dead wrong. And again, these are smart basketball people in this conference. Now, this league knows hoops. So when the media folks unveil who they believe will be the preseason team to beat in the conference for the men, 7 of the last 8 years, the selection has been incorrect. And ironically, none of those years has the University of Virginia been picked to be first. I'll be curious to see if the Hoos are number one with the media poll when that comes up.
Tomorrow morning, 8:30 on this program, we will unveil the predicted order of finish of the ACC men. Today at 8:30, we will unveil the women's basketball predicted order of finish.
Let me just say one other thing about Virginia. In the last 7 years, the Hoos are 104-24 in this conference. 104-24, all right? That's the best number of anybody. Duke, North Carolina, Shades of Blue, Louisville, you put Florida State, whoever you want in there, everybody's looking up at Virginia as far as winning games in this league in the last 7 years, and not one time has Virginia been picked first. Well, that changed tomorrow. To me, that is what I'm more interested in than the AP's guessing game of the top 25 teams.
Pack, I think Virginia will be a heavy favorite for first.
Okay. You might be right. I just want to see.
I think the question is, how does 2, 3, and 4 look behind them? I think that's the real question. I think Virginia will be a heavy pick for one. That's just a thought. But, I mean, will they be unanimous? I don't think so, but they'll be a heavy favorite for the first place.
They're kind of due, aren't they, Wes, after those numbers I just rattled off to you?
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, in the last 8 years, 7 times, the smart folks haven't got it right, picking first in preseason, and not a single year has Virginia been picked number one in the league, given the numbers I just gave you, 104 and 24. I mean, that's impressive.
There you go. All right. Notre Dame wide receiver Javon McKinley and Mark Richt on this show. Women's basketball announcement at 8:30. Men's basketball schedule at 9:30 this morning here with Packer and Durham. But when we come back, well, it's Tuesday and it's 7:15. And it's time for us to tell you who's number one in accounting. And who is number 16 in Mark's accounting?
Sweet 16.
I will tell you, the Dodgers have fallen from the top spot in my chart when we come back.
Good idea.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network, Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN. Tuesdays mean one thing. Time for our accounting. Now listen, everybody watching and listening, yep. You can participate. You should know this by now. We're now in week 11 of the college football season. You can rank them however you want. 1 through 15 in teams. If you want to get creative with the Sweet 16 spot, you certainly can. Hashtag Packer and Durham. We will select two lucky viewers / listeners, and you'll get your fame and fortune tomorrow on the program. But Wes, it's our turn. It's up to us. Eric McLean goes on Mondays.
That's right.
He kind of did his deal yesterday, and now we break through with ours. You lead.
All right, here we go. I'll start today, and probably no surprise to anybody, Notre Dame has replaced Clemson as the number one team. In my accounting, the Tigers are second. Miami moves to third. North Carolina is four. Wake Forest is five. Nice 4-5 game on Saturday, by the way, at noon. Boston College is six. Virginia Tech goes down to seven, just ahead of NC State. Then you get Pittsburgh, who moves up 3-9 after their road win at Florida State with Kenny Pickett back in the lineup. And then we go Virginia 10, Louisville 11. They play Saturday. Georgia Tech is 12. Florida State 13. Duke 14. Syracuse 15. That's my accounting this week, Mr. Packer. Thoughts, comments, considerations?
What happened to the Dodgers there? You catch enough heat last week on that one, and they just didn't even play and just disappeared off the map. What happened there?
Well, I think when a pastor told me I needed to have brain surgery, I started thinking, you know, what do we need to do there?
Yeah, so, you know, might have had a point.
Man of God tells me I might need brain surgery. I start thinking, well, maybe I better opt for another off.
Might want you to take a step back and a deep breath and just see where we are with that one. Again, you know, I told you I didn't think accounting was that hard this week. I really didn't.
It wasn't. For me, it was about kind of adjusting Pittsburgh and Virginia Tech and a little bit of Florida State. And I don't mind saying this with Roddy and I and Larisha Harris handling Florida State, NC State Saturday night. Look, Florida State is clearly a work in progress, right? But I'm slightly concerned about the Seminoles in terms of what may happen down the rest of the road, just based on kind of the way it all sets up and the way games have been going for them.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show you how concerned I am about the Noles. Let it rip. Here we go. Sweet 16 and all. Here we go. Number one's to be the man, you got to beat the man. That's what Notre Dame did. The Irish are at one. Clemson, two. I kept Miami at three. I kept North Carolina at four. I kept the Swiss. That'd be Wake Forest, for folks just listening, at five. I put now this 6, 7, and 8 spot. Again, I know the Hokies just lost to Liberty. All right, the Hokies just lost to Liberty. Now, keep in mind, Liberty is a quote-unquote ranked team. I can't put BC and NC State in front of Virginia Tech. You know why? Because the Hokies blew both of them out. That's why. If those games were close, I could get it. But the Hokies are at 6, BC 7, NC State 8. Pitt goes to 9, Virginia 10. Felt the same way you did, Wes. Now, 11 through 15, this is kind of a mess. And again, Georgia Tech 11, Louisville 12. The only reason Georgia Tech's in front of Louisville is because they beat them. Duke beat Syracuse. That's why Duke's 13, Syracuse is 14. I put Florida State 15. You know why? Because you got to play hard. You got to play hard. I get a sense that Syracuse is at least competing and wanting to get after it. I don't know if I could say the same thing right now about Florida State. I said it yesterday on the show. I'll say it again. I gave you the numbers. They've scored 2 points in the second half of their last three games. They've scored 18 points in the second half of their six ACC games. We got dudes opting out. I don't like the look of the lineup. You got three quarterbacks throwing picks. Florida State's got work to do. And number 16, the Sweet 16 this week, it's currently under review by the refs, which seem to be, unfortunately, a theme throughout all of college football this past weekend to the point of absurdity. Absurdity. Make a call. And if you're going to take 10 minutes underneath the roof, still get it right. There were still guys missing calls even after replay. So, under review by the refs, Sweet 16 this week. There you have it.
Could you tell me if, did you call our friend John Curry, the athletics director at Wake Forest, and tell him of the rebranding that was going to occur in your accounting?
No. No. Listen, I've been calling Wake Forest the Swiss long before John Curry ran the show at Wake Forest.
I know.
I mean, that's been an ongoing bit for almost 20 years. So, again, it's not derogatory. Yeah. If you're a Wake Forest fan and offended by it, you really just don't get it. It's a loving term. You are the Swiss. Everybody loves the Deacs. Nobody, there's not a single team in the league has any animosity towards Wake Forest. They are the Swiss.
As far as we can tell, as far as we know, we haven't seen any animosity at all toward the Deacons. I know. I agree. I'm with you on that. I think it is a perfect term. Absolutely perfect term.
There are games of note, though, this week that are going to affect accounting. North Carolina, Wake Forest is going to affect accounting. Miami, Virginia Tech is going to affect accounting.
Yes, sir.
BC, Notre Dame could very well affect accounting. There are a number of upper half games this week in the ACC. I just hope we get them. Again, after what happened in the SEC yesterday with that disturbing COVID news, like I said, COVID doesn't care. They don't care if you're ranked, unranked, good or bad. I just hope we get these games in this week.
Yeah. I put Virginia Louisville on that list. And the Cards, by the way, are back to practice on Sunday. And we expect to hear from Scott Satterfield at some point coming up here, not only in this program, but down the road this week about his team and what they went through last week. Let's also update you on what the University of Notre Dame has decided to do. We touched on this yesterday. Father John Jenkins issuing some edicts to the students and faculty at the University of Notre Dame. All students now are required to undergo coronavirus testing before they leave South Bend for the extended winter break. He told students that in an email announcement on Sunday night. He didn't specifically reference the storming of the field, but rather, quote, many gatherings over the weekend. This one, obviously, the largest one. If a student is exposed or tests positive, they'll be required to quarantine on campus for 2 weeks. If they don't complete the mandatory coronavirus test or if they leave campus before they receive the exit test, they'll be prevented from registering for classes, university officials said. Jenkins himself apologized for, after being criticized for appearing in the Rose Garden ceremony to announce the nominee Amy Comey Barrett, who is a Notre Dame grad. Jenkins tested positive days after attending, shook hands, sat shoulder to shoulder, and so forth. He has since apologized for his misgivings as well. So, all that being said, Notre Dame, not specifically citing the storming of the field, pack, has issued some very strong terms for their students, not only leaving for the winter break, but also coming back to campus as well.
Hey, it's their business, right? I mean, I know that was a hot-button issue. I know people have been going crazy. Hey, guy's a hypocrite. I mean, hey, everybody's got their own opinion on this. But, hey, it's Notre Dame's business.
Right.
And that's kind of how I've looked at this thing. I'm sure there were a lot of folks that cringed when they saw the field storming. But they're college students, man. We've seen this a trillion times. I know there's a pandemic, but you get caught up in the emotion. And, we've seen professional athletes pull that stuff where, hey, no disrespect, your number one team last week, the Dodgers, unfortunately, when they won the World Series, Justin Turner's tested positive. He's out there acting like a an 8-year-old. He wants to celebrate. I get it. Again, this is Notre Dame's business. You got to do what you got to do. Now, and I know there's a lot of people who say, well, legally, can they do it? I don't know. It's none of my business. So if that's how you want to conduct it, that's how you do it. If you want to go to Notre Dame, here are the rules and regulations you follow. And if you don't like it, you can take your act and go somewhere else. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that one.
No, it's just what the university's decided to do.
Right.
And, there you go. And it comes on the heels of the Saturday night victory against Clemson. More to come. In fact, conference cuts is on the way next on this show. But a quick reminder to you that tonight on ACC Network, 10 o'clock, a little late night edition of In Play, Kelsey Riggs and EJ Manuel will be here. And America's favorite new game, Hold Up or Nah Next. Plus, they'll have you feeling warm and cozy as they bring you back to their childhood and your childhood with an incredible On This Date in History. There you have it. 10 o'clock tonight, In Play, right here on ACC Network. When we come back, we'll be holding up for conference cuts. Jeff Hafley, he's coming up. BC Notre Dame, Mac Brown, Wake Forest, Carolina, Bronco Mendenhall with the Ville visiting. All that and more coming up on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday morning. Our accounting is out. I'm sure it's getting ripped by social media, and we take a great deal of pride in that. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. But again, you can partake. Hashtag Packer and Durham. Send in your entries to lucky viewers / listeners. You get your due tomorrow on the show. All right, Wes, conference cuts. What do we got?
Well, we're going to start in Charlottesville because after having a game postponed last week, Bronco Mendenhall is back at the microphone in Louisville Saturday at 3:30 here on ACC Network. Discussed watching games and along the way decided to analyze the broadcast teams.
So we have a rule, and this is, I don't even know if I should share this, but I'm going to. When we watch the games, we have the announcers turned off because how I react to them and what they're seeing and what I think is accurate really doesn't match most of the time. And so she just turns the volume off. And it happened before that when my family was watching games of ours where I was the coach, and they might have said things that were more inflating or more degrading than what my wife thought. And so we just don't have the volume on. So when friends come over to watch, which we don't have friends that come over to watch, but if they did, they'd be wondering, why are we not having the volume on? But that's why. So it starts with how I was being talked about over my career. But now it's if I am over home to watch a game, which isn't much, but when I do, my wife, Holly, can't stand what I say back to the commentators who can't hear me anyway on how inaccurate the comment was they just made. So we turn the volume off.
Wes, I'm sorry. I turned the volume off. What was Bronco saying? Did you get that? Because I just turned him off. What did he say?
I have an excellent idea for a new ACC Network show. In fact, it probably does a nice job of partnering with In Play. It would be called Open Date. And we take our cameras to the home of a coach who's enjoying an off week. And we set those cameras up, and we send maybe we send Mark Packer. And you sit with the coach and talk about football while they watch other games and comment on the announcers. What do you think?
I'm all for it. I tell you what, if a coach wants you to come hang out with us here at the basement, come on. All we do is watch football Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. That's all we do. Eat, drink, make notes, watch ball. So if any coach wants to come to the basement, come on. More power to you. Plenty of parking, Wes, right? We got plenty of parking. If you guys crash, we got the West Durham suite. As long as you pass the sniff test with Chester and Fuller, you can come hang out all day, all night. Mrs. P doesn't care.
I think I need to double check with Bronco and see if he has any show notes for Roddy and I for Saturday night in Raleigh, based on what we did in Tallahassee last weekend. So there we go. All right, move on to Chapel Hill. Mac Brown talked about the importance. Here we go, Pac, of winning the state championship this weekend.
It's not the state championship as such. It's you want to beat the people that are closest to your school, because they're the ones that alumni, the supporters, the students, all are buddies with their supporters and their students. And that's why it's called rivalries. And that's why we started the, quote, state championship before, because it was the teams in the state that you had to beat. Because I've always felt like unless you can win at home in your own state, in your own area, then how can you start talking about winning nationally? You got to be the best team in your state before you can be the best team in the country. And that's where all this started. And when I got here the first time, we couldn't beat anybody. In fact, they first started saying, you got to beat State, you got to beat Duke, you got to beat Wake. And then after 2 years, they said, beat somebody. We don't care. It doesn't matter. You're awful. And they were right. So we had to start by trying to beat the in-state schools, because that was the most important thing at that time.
Two things there, Wes. Number one, Mac's wrong. Mac Brown, I haven't said that. I don't know if I've said that since he's been back. But Mac Brown's wrong. It's not always got to beat the best team. You don't always have to win every game and be the best team in your state before you win a national championship. In fact, that was proven incorrect just a few years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Auburn beat Alabama and Alabama won the national championship? That was just a couple years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. Somebody can look that up just off the top of my head.
That's right, because then, yeah, because Georgia beat Auburn in the SEC, and then Alabama got in, and then, yeah.
So Mac's wrong. Yeah. Sorry, Coach.
Second and 26, for those of you that have forgotten.
There you go.
Second and 26.
So, Coach, that would be – I was buying what you were selling there, and then I'm like, nah, that's not an accurate statement. That is not true. That is not true. That just happened just a few years ago. Number two, I'm going to make a change. After David Cutcliffe last week on Conference Cuts talked about the grocery store rivalry, right? And we kidded around creating the Food Lion Cup for that game. I'm going to take that away.
Yeah.
North Carolina gets the victory bell for beating Duke. But I'm taking the Food Lion Cup away. You know why? Because the Food Lion Cup beginning right – I'm making an executive decision. The Food Lion Cup, effective right now, goes to the state champion in the state of North Carolina. Whoever wins it. You know how we have the Commander's Trophy, Army, Navy, Air Force? We're going to go Food Lion Cup for the Tar Heel State. So Wake Forest technically would have been last year's Food Lion Cup winner. And if North Carolina wins Saturday and goes for the sweep, the Heels get not only the victory bell for beating Duke, they get the Food Lion Cup for being the state champ. So okay. Two things out of Mac's conference cut right there, all right? Write that down in ink, Wes. All right,
so... I'm writing it down now. So do I need to craft the memo to the commissioner and the four athletic directors and the folks with ACC Network and ESPN to let them know that this is your creed?
Yep. Food Lion Cup goes to the state champion in the state of North Carolina. Food Lion Cup.
Okay. Got it.
It could be a bronze grocery bag, whatever they want to come up with.
Food Lion sponsorship, huh?
Well, I mean, Food Lion's a proud sponsor of ACC Network, so I'm tying the whole thing. Bring everybody together. Where's Food Lion based? State of North Carolina.
Yes, you do.
Right? Food Lion, a proud sponsor of ACC Network events. Why not? Food Lion Cup. There it is. Moving forward.
There you go. More you can do, Pac. More you can do. Let's move along to Chestnut Hill. Jeff Hafley shares his thoughts on what it means to play two top teams in the country in a three-week stretch.
Oh, it's great. I mean, you want to play the best teams that you can. And clearly right now, they're one of the best teams in the country. I mean, no one's beaten Clemson in, 35 straight regular season games or whatever it was. So for them to knock them off and beat them, it's a great opportunity. You're playing maybe the number one ranked team in the country again. And let's see what we can do. Put together a great week of practice, get confident, and go swing as hard as we can and have some fun.
Just like what that guy's doing, man. I just, everything that he does seems to be right. He has the right feel for his team. Again, doesn't mean they're going to win, lose Saturday. I got no idea. That's why you go play. But if you haven't been impressed as an ACC fan with the job Jeff Hafley has done in year one, you're not paying attention. This guy has transformed the way they have gone about their business. And no knock on Steve Adazio, who was a big buddy of ours, and we wish him the very best at Colorado State. But I really just like the temperament, the attitude, the way they've gone about their business. One positive COVID test out of, 6,000 or whatever the number has been since June. They've been incredibly disciplined away. They've been great on the field. Really, other than the Virginia Tech game where they just had a lousy night, turned the ball over, all over the joint, got blown out. They've been competitive. They've been good. They've won games. I just like everything Jeff Hafley's doing. I really do. I've really been impressed.
Jeff Hafley's counterpart on Saturday is Brian Kelly, who discussed trying to get his team to raise its level of play after the win over Clemson in overtime.
Well, I think the first thing is the constant application of our process. So stay consistent with what we've been doing. And so that constant application of our process has been something that we've done now for, you know, close to 4 years. So continue on that front, which is, you know, it's not replaced by anything but smart work, working with a purpose and having good practice habits and certainly productive practices. You know, it's one thing to go out there and run around, but not having productive practices is certainly the end game here. So the constant application of our process starts with, you know, the ability to understand how important each day is in our preparation.
100% right. Coach is spot on. And it will be interesting to watch Notre Dame Saturday on the road after the incredibly emotional win, their biggest win in 27 years. Now taking on a team that will be excited to see them. And you throw in the whole Phil Jurkovec's angle to this, red bandana game. Jeff Hafley's had his guys prepared. Hey, it's college football, man. Strap it on. Let's see where this thing goes. But I think Brian Kelly's approach has been spot on.
Yep, I agree with you on that. And it sets the stage for maybe some more magic with BC and Notre Dame, right? We'll definitely get an eyeful from Chestnut Hill on Saturday. When we come back, big announcement yesterday from ACC Network. We got more to come at 8:30 in the – oh, my goodness. There's George Gipp. Win one for the Gipper is next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACC-N. We'll get to your calls momentarily. Just hang tight with us. We've got some serious basketball news today, both the men and women, which we'll announce coming up at 8:30, 9:30, respectively, and so forth. But, Wes, yesterday there was a big announcement regarding ACC Network with one of the biggest names in the sport, and we are thrilled to have her join us.
I'd say so. Muffet McGraw is going to serve as a basketball studio analyst here for ACC Network throughout the upcoming season. She'll be here for the ACC women's basketball tip-off and Operation Basketball later this week. Retired last April after 33 years on the bench at South Bend, 936 wins, two NCAA titles, 9 trips to the Final Four. My goodness, consensus National Coach of the Year 3 times. I mean, this is we are not worthy on ACC Network. Great to have Muffet McGraw as part of the basketball team coming up this season for sure.
Well, not only is she a brilliant basketball mind, but I'll be honest with you, despite all of her accomplishments, I learn more from her when she starts giving you philosophical thoughts about not only the sport, but other things. And she is a very, very bright lady. And we can all learn something if you just be quiet and let Muffet do her thing. So for ACC Network to acquire her services for hoops and other things, it's fantastic. So we really are really excited about having her on board. No question.
No question about that. Before we get to an on this date, if you will, got some viewer tweets in this morning, Pac. Need to pass those along to you.
Already?
Henry Cox. Yeah, oh, yeah, up and early. Folks in the first hour, well, you know accounting always does it.
That's true.
Henry Cox. Hey, Mark Packer in West Durham, thought you'd like this. My wife couldn't remember your names. So this morning she says, isn't it time for that show? And I ask, what show? She says, you know, the cat guy and the dog guy.
Spot on. Who are those dudes? I don't know. One guy's got dogs. The other guy's got a cat. That one. That's beautiful. Cat.
That's it.
That's funny.
Yep. That's the show.
Funny and accurate.
Thank you, Henry. And thank you, Mrs. Cox. Yes. Appreciate you very much for identifying the real stars of the show, as they say.
No doubt.
On this date, 1928, Notre Dame tries to win one for the Gipper. The Irish come from behind to beat Army 12-6 on the road. It's the world-famous Newt Rockne win one for the Gipper. Of course, it was chronicled in the movie Newt Rockne All-American, where George Gipp was portrayed by President and Ronald Reagan. Gipp had died at the age of 25 from strep throat and pneumonia 3 weeks after a win over Northwestern in his senior season, and was the subject of Rockne's "Win Just One for the Gipper" speech. And there's a look at George Gipp. The film was done in 1940. Gipp passed away December 14th, 1920, but it was on this date, in 28 that, Rockne offered up the speech. And of course, in the movie, it's portrayed that, you know, when the fellows are down and things aren't going well, tell them to win one for the Gipper.
92 years
ago. It's a great movie, by the way.
Okay. I know how much you enjoy black and white photos. You live for the black and white photo. You go to your trusty book that you carry around, got dust all over it, start giving me stats from 1918 and the Spanish flu. And anytime we can give you the black and white photos, you know Wes Durham is excited because he loves all this stuff. Look at these photos. Right.
Look at
here.
The football. Just look at the football. No wonder they didn't throw it back then. Could we get one of those sweaters right there on the right?
I kind of like that sweater.
And by the way, I know, could we get a coach to coach a game at some point dressed like Rockne, you think?
Well, let's be honest. In this league, you could pull it off in South Bend because when you get into a December game, you can do that. You could do it in Blacksburg. You could probably do it at Pitt. You couldn't even do it at Syracuse. We're under the roof. I mean, where else could we do it in this league, Wes? There's not many opportunities to have to layer up for a football game.
Yeah.
By the way, do you think we will ever get back to an era where dressing up on the sideline is the norm? Because it goes in cycles, right? Fashion goes through cycles. And heaven forbid that I'm talking about fashion, right? Because I'm a baseball hat, blue jeans every day if I could pull it off. I normally do. But do you think we will ever get back to where head coaches are coming through the tunnel with a fedora, coat and tie? Do you think that will ever happen in our lifetime again? I'm just asking an offbeat question. You don't?
No.
Because you know, because you know what?
I don't.
Because this year in hoops, I mean, isn't everybody going casual this year in hoops? Aren't we getting away from the
golf shirts?
Right. Aren't we getting away from the $5,000 Jay Wright suit and the the vest? And we're going into kind of the Pac-Man mode of showing up for a game in sweats or whatever it is you want to wear. Right?
I think so. Yeah.
So I'm just asking the question. Do you think we'll ever go back the other way in football? I'm just going to throw that one out.
I have one reason why. I have one reason as to why probably not, and I wish it wasn't the reason, but I think it is in football, and that is the apparel contracts with the schools.
Yeah, but the apparel contracts with the school, I'm talking about the individual coach. If the individual coach
I'm telling you, and here's why I'm saying it. Because in the NFL, Mike Nolan was the coach of the San Francisco 49ers and Jack Del Rio was coaching in Jacksonville at the time, Mike Nolan's dad, Dick Nolan, had been a former NFL coach who wore a coat and tie on the sideline when he coached in the National Football League. Mike wanted to wear a coat and tie, and it had to be approved, and they had to find a place to, at the time, Reebok had the NFL apparel deal, and they had to find a place to put the logo of Reebok somewhere on the blazer so that they could fulfill the agreement of the apparel deal with the National Football League. I know just enough to be dangerous about this. I think most apparel agreements with universities for Athletics Pack in football have an arrangement where the coach has to wear the apparel.
Well, you might be right. But, I mean, could we put a Nike swoosh or UA logo or Adidas whatever on the lapel? I mean, could we not pull that off? I mean these dudes aren't making some serious coin here.
Yeah. You remember when Lefty was one of the first Nike coaches at Maryland when he won the ACC tournament in 1984. He wore a tan blazer that had Nike embossed on the breast pocket.
We could do that. Why not?
Yeah.
I just wonder if that will ever happen our lifetime. If it will ever, from super casual that somebody will be, hey, I'm going to break the trend. I'm showing up in a great three-piece suit, fedora, whatever the case. I'm going to Hank Stram you to death on this one, right? Well, whatever the case may be. I'm just saying. Just don't know.
It would be great. It would be great if it happened. Maybe, hey, you know what? Maybe we put that down on the list for our 75th anniversary ACC stuff in a few years.
I just think it'd be something different. You know?
Yep.
And you know somebody, Wes, the smart marketing people who get it from a coaching perspective. Somebody out there eventually will buck the trend and go, hey, you know what? I want people to be talking about me. How do I do that? I'm not going to be dressed up like every other coach in America with the same combination. I'm going to show up in a three-piece suit and look the part. And people are going to be buzzing about it. ESPN will put on SportsCenter. Wherever you find your news, it'll be all over the place. Somebody will do that. Somebody.
Yeah. You know what we can do? We're going to take a break, and Mark Richt's going to join us. We'll ask Mark Richt. You ever think about wearing a full suit and tie? Right?
Or dress up like
Trevor
Lawrence?
How about the old pictures of the coat and tie with the...
Or that right there.
Oh. Oh, my gosh.
Looks just like him.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Scary.
Coach Richt joins us next, hour two of Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.